Amen. Oh dear. You were definitely lost. Thank you, Jesus. That's a wonderful testimony. It goes right along with what we're going to talk about today. For those who couldn't hear her, she went to a wedding yesterday, and God just did a wonderful miracle of restoration in Sandy's family, Sandy and her daughters and her granddaughters and just everyone there. So what a blessing that had to be. And, you know, Sandy did what, you know, the Bible says, she sat in the back, but then someone came and said, no, you need to be in the front. And so, isn't that so much better than what the Word says? You know, you go sit right up front, and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, that's somebody else's seat, you got to go to the back. But no, it worked out, and God just did an awesome thing. But then also, God helped Sandy get home, and she described her journey home from SOTUS to be in front of Doug's house. She was certainly lost. If anybody knows where Sandy lives in comparison to Doug and SOTUS, it's like, but you know what? God got her home safely, and she didn't have to pray that it didn't rain because we need rain. And but anyway, it was just awesome. But, you know, the restoration and bringing that peace and healing to that family is powerful. Anybody else have family issues where you need some peace? And some restoration and some healing. Yeah, lots of us. Amen. Did you want to share something? Nice. Yeah, see, now you know the mic don't work, so you're willing to talk. Nice and loud, please. Awesome. Went to orientation last night and started full time until school begins at Awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Congratulations, young man. And God bless you. Oh, boy. First real job, right?
Yeah, he's done lawn mowing
and things like that, but this is, yeah. Ooh, Lord bless him. Starting into the workforce is a scary thing. Amen. And you know what? If that's your dream, you're starting in the right place. You know, I talked to a gentleman a while ago who wants to be a heavy equipment operator. I want to be a heavy equipment operator. I said, you know where you start? You start in the ditch with a shovel in your hand. That's where you start. And if you don't know how to do that, don't even ask me to get in that big machine. You know? And so anyway, God bless. That is awesome. We have a few kids, just a few. Do they want to go downstairs today or do they want to stay upstairs? Oh, yeah, the little girls want to go. Do we have a children's worker that can go down? Judy, thank you. Yes, thank you, Crystal. So, little ones, if you want to go downstairs, Lord bless them, instruct them. Teach them something profound that when they come back to their parents, they're holy little angels. Amen. We're going to continue in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Every time I think I know what direction God wants me to go, he just brings me. You know, I think, well, maybe we'll do something, we'll do this. No, God just keeps bringing me back to the fruit of the Spirit. And I think it's just a powerful thing. And it's something that I believe that we all really should take heed to, pay attention to. Don't overlook it as something that is light. It's very important that we walk in the Spirit. Today I want to focus on the word peace. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit that you put right inside of us. Help us, God, to walk by that Spirit, to live by that Spirit. And God, as we look at peace today, I pray peace over each and every soul in this place, in every way. Bless your word. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now again, just like all the other words that we've talked about, and I'm looking forward, actually, to getting to the word long-suffering. Some of you may not be looking forward to that, but I'm kind of looking forward to that. God hasn't quite released me to that yet. Maybe that'll be last, I don't know. But today, the word peace, you know, as Sandy gave testimony, God brought peace into a family that was full of strife. And, you know, and I'm not pointing you out and picking on you, Sandy, on that, because we all have, at times, family issues where there is strife. But we long for peace. If you don't have peace in your life, that is certainly something that you long for. Nobody likes to be just full of turmoil and chaos. Nobody likes it when the world just isn't quite lined up and we can't figure anything out and there's just no rest, there's no peace. Well, today I want to talk about three areas of peace. And it's these three right here. Peace with self, peace with others, and peace with God. If we have peace with self, and if we have peace with others, and we have peace with God, then certainly the fruit of the Spirit, peace, will be very active in our lives. It's not always easy, but it is very necessary. It is very powerful if we get it right. Now understand something. It's important that we have peace in all three of these areas in order to truly walk in peace. Because if we lack peace in just one of these, we won't have peace in any of them. Do you understand that? If we don't have peace in all three of these areas of our lives, then we won't have peace in any of it. It only takes, you know, not having peace with yourself to really mess up your relationship with others and with God. And it only takes not having peace with your neighbor or somebody else that it doesn't, you know, that really highly affects whether or not you have peace with yourself and with God. And the same thing with God. If we don't have peace with God, guess what? We don't have peace with anybody. And so there is a key to peace. And I'm going to talk about a word that I believe is the key to having peace and to be able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, peace. And I'm kind of curious, this word, as I was studying this word and looking into how to have peace with myself and peace with others and peace with God, there was one word that became the key to all of it. That word is forgiveness. Forgiveness. If you want to have peace with yourself, peace with God, peace with others, forgiveness is the key that opens that door. I didn't realize I had a slide for that. I didn't highlight it. But there it is. The key to peace with yourself, peace with others, and peace with God is found in that word forgiveness. Let's look at peace with self. Forgiving yourself is the key to having peace with yourself. I'm surprised I didn't hear a resounding amen to that. Because I know that many times we struggle forgiving ourselves. And when we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, we don't have peace. But here's the thing about forgiving yourself. Something we need to understand, forgiving yourself will never be based upon what you do. It'll always be based upon what God has done. And so to forgive yourself, you need to trust what God says about forgiveness. And what does it say? You know, it says in trust what God says and not what you think. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is a verse I preached on these a while ago. It's still my favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. When we walk in our own understanding about our circumstance and our life and what we have done, guess what? We don't have a lot of peace. Because the way I understand it, I've done things wrong. The way I understand it, there's no way to fix what I've done. But it says, lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Lord, I want peace in my life. So you know what? I'm going to acknowledge all my ways. Lord, this is who I am. This is my sin nature. This is what I've done. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways, not just the good things, but the bad things. And what happens? He says, God directs your path. Do you know where God leads your path to? God leads your path to peace. He puts you on the path of peace. Do you know that? And so, trusting in what God says and not what you think is the most important part of you receiving peace. And so, what does God say? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Question number one, have you confessed your sin to God? Have you been open and honest? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him in all your ways. What's that mean? Confess your sin to God. God, have you forgiven? Have you confessed to God? Because if you have, it says there, that He forgives us, that He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so I want you to say this, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And you know how hard it is for some people even just to say that, I'm forgiven. My wife and I years ago went through a bankruptcy. I don't know if everybody knows that. It was a very hard thing for me. I'm like, God, I'm a believer. Why? And I struggled and struggled. I can't go through bankruptcy. That's not what Christians do. And we got to the place in our situation. It was like, okay, God, whatever door you open up, I'm going to walk through. And that was the only door he opened up. And so we walked through, and I struggled. And it's like, how am I going to forgive myself for this? You know, how am I going to stand up and preach to others, you know, about financial, you know, responsibility and all these things when I have been through bankruptcy? Well, at the end of a bankruptcy, anybody who's ever gone through it, you end up, they make you go to a class, a financial management class. We go to this financial management class, and we're sitting there in the back, and I'm just struggling with this. Okay, you know, God, I've been through this. Yeah, I don't feel good about this. And the instructor up at the front, she gave us all this financial information. It's all stuff I knew. But she said something that just gave me peace. She said, I want you to understand. Were those ladies mean? Lord, forgive them. This lady said to the whole class, she said, I want you to understand something. She said, you have been through bankruptcy, but what you need to understand is that you have been forgiven this debt. And when she said that, she said, you have been forgiven. All of a sudden, peace just came into my soul. Because I understand forgiveness. When you're forgiven, it's like it never happened. When you're forgiven, you are set free. And that's how peace came to me. And I can testify to you, I've been through bankruptcy. You know why? Because I have peace. Because I know I've been forgiven. And until I was able to forgive myself, realize, you know what, God has forgiven me, and forgive myself, I couldn't walk in peace. But it also says, he forgives us of our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I want you to say this, I'm clean. Believe it. Trust what God's word says, not what you think. Trust what God's word says. The key to peace with yourself is forgiving yourself. And in order for us to believe what God says, we have to stop hanging on to our own stinking thinking. What God calls clean, don't anybody say is unclean. Look at another verse, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because Jesus gives us peace. And his kind of peace isn't the kind of peace that the world gives. The world has no understanding of peace. Peace, I believe, is one of those words that it's just like the word good. Nothing, there's nothing good except God. That's what Jesus said. And so, the world doesn't understand good outside of God. And I believe the world does not understand peace outside of God either. And so he says, my peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. And so, you know what? I hope that today somehow the Spirit works inside your heart and you're able to forgive yourself and you're able to leave this place with just an overwhelming sense of God's peace in you. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule where? Let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. God calls us to peace. And so we ought not to walk around in turmoil of our own situation, hating ourselves, not loving ourselves, not being someone, you know, it's interesting how in the commandments, Jesus said, love the Lord your God, but he said, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't have love for yourself, you don't have peace. And I'm not talking about the love for yourself that the world, you know, there are people in the world that just love themselves, and I'm not talking about that kind of love for yourself. You know what I'm talking about. But let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord, and He will direct your way, I believe, to peace. I believe that's God's way for all of us, that we would have peace. Now remember, the person who wrote this, who wrote the letter to Galatians, is a person who suffered all kinds of turmoil, all kinds of persecution. If you ever really did a study on Paul's life and all the things that happened to him after he came to the Lord and he started preaching the gospel, it's amazing that he would stand up and say, you know what? I have peace. And so God wants us to experience peace. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul, and I'll end this part with this thought. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul if he, after he got saved, if for the rest of his life he allowed the fact that he was murdering Christians dwell in his mind and his heart and his soul? Could you imagine what the rest of his life would have been? He would never had any peace in that. But because I believe that God had forgiven him and he understood that forgiveness, that he was able to forgive himself for the atrocities that he did and live in peace. And that's what God wants us to do. I believe God wants us to understand and believe that we have been forgiven from the atrocities that we have done, because God wants us to live in peace. Now, let's look at number two, peace with others. Forgiving others is the key to having peace with others. You know, forgiveness is so powerful. I don't believe we can experience any kind of peace if we don't have it. We've talked about this over and over. Look at a portion of Scripture. I just read to you Colossians 3:15. It says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." The verses just before that is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. "Therefore, as the elect of God," everybody, I'm the elect of God. I'm the elect of God. Let me hear you say it. I am the elect of God. Most of us don't feel that way most times, do we? Again, go back to what God says about you, not about what you think you are. "As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." It's very interesting, again, how all through God's Word, the fruits of the Spirit are listed here and there in various places. But it says in 13, "bearing with one another." I hope I'm not the kind of person that you're just bearing with. I hope I'm somebody you like to be around. But it says, "bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And so here in these verses, we see kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We see love, all of these fruits of the Spirit. And I believe that peace is the hidden word in there when it says that forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Why? Because you will never have peace in your life if you will not forgive others. "But Pastor, you don't know what they did to me." Well, I know what I did to Jesus. And he forgave me. And that's what it says. As Christ forgave me, I must also forgive others. And that's the way that we all have to be. But they were mean. They were vicious. They were manipulative. They were all this. And you could make the whole list of why you shouldn't forgive them. And God says, you know what? Forgive them. We've got to learn how to let some stuff go. If we want peace in our lives, we have to forgive others. Look at what Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says. It says, this is after the people were taken captive to Babylon. And Jeremiah from Jerusalem sends this letter to them, sends this prophecy to them. He says, "Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray to the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace." Now, what's he saying? Here, the children of Israel are captive in a country that ripped them out of their own land and holding them as slaves. And Jeremiah says, you need to pray for them. And I don't think he meant one of those prayers like, "Oh God, I pray that you wipe them all out." And he says, you need to pray for them. Pray to the Lord for them. Why? Because if they have peace, you will have peace. Think about that here in Geneva. Think about that here in America. Now, no, we're not held captive here. You know, we're free to move about. But here's the thing. This is where we live. And we should be praying for peace in the land where we live. Why? Because then we'll have peace. You know what? This election year is just out of control. We need to be praying for peace amongst the leaders of our nation. Why? Because the leaders of our nation, if they're at peace, then we, the nation, will be at peace. And so in this, what Jeremiah is saying, you know what? You need to pray for those Babylonians to have peace. And indirectly, he's saying you need to forgive them for dragging you out of your country, forcing you to be enslaved in their country. Pray for them to have peace. That's not always an easy thing to do, is it? Ephesians, one more verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's an interesting phrase. God has forgiven you for the sake of Christ. What does that mean? It means that if God doesn't forgive us, then his son Jesus went through the cross for nothing. And so for Christ's sake, God forgives us. And what he has called us to do is to forgive one another. Again, the word kind there, going along with the fruits of the Spirit being sprinkled throughout God's word, if we would just catch that, be kind one to another. Anybody have difficulty being kind to somebody that's not kind to you? Yeah, we do. We have difficulty being kind to somebody who has wronged us. And we feel so right about not being kind to somebody who has wronged us. But here's the thing. You will not have peace in your life if you don't do what God's word says. Remember we talked about earlier, he turned water into wine. Was that water turning into wine conducive on those people doing what he said? If they didn't do what he said, if they didn't go get the pots and fill them with water and bring them to him, would have he turned it into wine? There wouldn't have been any pots with water in them to turn into wine. And so we need to do what God tells us to do in order that we would have his manifest miracles and presence in our lives. And in order for us to experience peace, then we need to forgive. We need to forgive others. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive our others. But there's one more point that I want to make about peace, and that's peace with God. Peace with God. The key to peace with God is still found in the word forgiveness, but it's the other way around this time. It's believing that we are forgiven. That's the key to having peace with God. Believing that we are forgiven. Let me show you a verse. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You want joy and peace? You got to have faith. You know that? Faith is, again, another one of the words, one of the fruits of the Spirit. But you don't believe, if you don't have faith, you don't believe anything. And so here, Paul is saying to the Romans, let the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You want peace with God, you got to believe. You got to believe some stuff. You got to believe that He's forgiven you. If you don't believe that God has forgiven you, then you're going to walk around with this just feeling of, you know what, there's this wall between me and God. There's a strife between me and God because He doesn't forgive me. How can you possibly have peace in your life if you don't believe that God forgives you? You know, I'll never forget this. There was this one time years ago I was talking with someone, and they said to me, God will never forgive me for what I've done. I'm like, you don't know God. And I believe the only reason why he was saying that is because he didn't want to be forgiven. He wanted to continue the life of sin. He knew that if he put his faith and trust in God and forgiving him, that he'd have to stop doing the things that he shouldn't be doing. I think really that's what that was rooted in. But it just struck me so profound to hear somebody say, God will never forgive me. He doesn't forgive people like me. Well, I'm sorry, he does. And for you to have peace in your life, you got to believe that. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by what? By faith. By believing that Jesus forgives us of our sin. We have what? Peace with God. Are you at peace with God? I mean, really, are you at peace with God? Or do you just feel like this distant, you know, like there's a space between you, just can't quite get there, it's just like there's just no peace? Well, then start activating some faith. Start believing His love for you. Through what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave His life for you. Why? He wants you to live in peace. That's why He said, and I mentioned a verse earlier, my peace I leave with you. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all know this verse. I put this up here because, you know what, it's football season has started. You're going to see this reference all over stadiums. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you get that deep in your soul and deep in your understanding, hallelujah, I'm going to receive everlasting life. That'll give you peace. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. You turn to Jesus Christ. You repent of your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. And if you would just believe, you'll have peace. You'll have everlasting life. Also, having a heart of forgiveness helps us stay at peace with God. Again, having a heart of forgiveness helps us stay at peace with God. I say that because Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is so easy, yet so hard. But here's the thing. If you want to walk in peace, forgiveness is the key to all of it. Understanding that you are forgiven. Forgiving others. And believing in God and His forgiveness for you. All of that opens up a door of peace. It's like, wow. You know, just like when I was, you know, in that in that class, after having gone through bankruptcy, it's like, you know what? This just doesn't even matter. It's like it doesn't even matter. I'm forgiven. And I can have peace in that. It's all connected. To have peace with one, we have to have peace with all. To be at peace with myself, I have to have peace with others. I have to have peace with God. To have peace with others, I must have peace with myself and peace with God. You know, in the same thing, if I want to have peace with God, I have to have peace with myself. I have to have peace with others. You know, you think about the person who is just totally has no peace with themselves and how hard it is for them to relate to other people. Which means there's no peace that they have with no other people. Which also means that there's no peace that they have with God. Peace. God wants us to walk in peace. Those who walk by the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Peace is a huge part of that. If we can't live out our faith in peace, man, it's going to be a long ride. Anybody ever take a trip in a car with a little kid that's not peaceful? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. It's a long ride. Yeah. Oh, that's why you go at night. So, under the cover of darkness. No. That's good advice, but that doesn't always work either. And so the last verse, 2 Corinthians 13:11, says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." What kind of God do we serve? We serve a God of love and peace. And so he wants us to live in peace. And so I want to open up the altars right now. If you're struggling with peace, I want you to come and I want you to call on God. I want you to ask him to help you understand that you're forgiven, to help you to forgive somebody that's wronged you, or perhaps just to help you in your area of faith in believing God's forgiveness for you. And so stand with me as we pray. And I really hope that we all just get this in our being. Do you know what it's like? I mean, I already mentioned one little example, but wherever you are, if there's somebody who's not peaceful, it's a place you don't want to be. And so we as believers in Christ, we need to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit of peace. Why? Because when we walk in the room, we don't want other people to be disrupted. We want to be someone who can bring peace to the room. We want to be someone that, you know what, I'm really glad you're all here today. You're just such a peaceful crowd. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you will speak to each of our hearts. In any area of our lives where we lack in peace, I pray, God, that you will show us the way of peace in that circumstance. As we acknowledge you in all our ways, Lord, direct our path in the ways of love and peace. And so, God, pour out a blessing in this place. Help us understand the depth of love and forgiveness that brings peace. Help us, God, to be peace-loving people, people who live in peace. Lord, let no strife, let no contention, let no turmoil or chaos get in the way of a Holy Spirit-inspired peace in our lives. I pray this blessing on each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, if you struggle, if you just don't have peace, I want to ask you to come and just spend a few moments at this altar and pray. And let God fill you. Let God give that peace that passes understanding. Let Him pour that over your soul and fill your heart. Because this I know, we serve a God of love and peace. And it's His desire that we in this world experience exactly that.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to finish with a song we started with. We wait for you. We wait for you. We wait for you. To walk in the room, we wait for you. We wait for you. We wait for you to walk in the room.
Lord, we need your peace here in this place. We need your peace in our lives. Help us to see through all the chaos and the turmoil. Whatever the storms are in our life, oh God. Oh, speak peace in there. I'm mindful when you were in the ship and the storm was raging. The disciples were all afraid. And you just spoke. You said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased to blow and the waves calmed down. So we wait for you. Lord, we wait for you. Wait for you to walk in the room.
Amen. God, as we're dismissed here this morning, I pray that just an overwhelming sense of your peace would flood each and every heart and soul. Help us to understand the depth of peace that comes with the word forgiveness. And bless each one, God, that we would be at peace with ourselves, at peace with our neighbors, and at peace with you each and every day of our lives. God, that we would live in the fruit of the Spirit of peace. Amen. Pour it out today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Greet one another. Love one another. And be at peace with one another as we dismiss this. God bless you all.
Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down, Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. We wait for you. We wait for you.